This podcast exists and has no real actual ads on it because of our Patreon. You can support us over at patreon.com/nullplusvoid.
And I don't want
to we here at Apple want you to sound amazing when you're doing your Goo Goo Dolls cover. That's Tim Cook. That's
is that how he sounds?
He's very Southern. Kind of like that. I can't do a good voice.
I don't know if I could say know his voice.
I'm really good at doing voices when no one's around.
It's one of those impressions that everyone does that you just end up blending everyone else's impressions. You know?
It's like Arnold. Arnold impersonations sound like an impersonation of an impersonation.
Yeah.
But who are you impersonating?
Actually, in real life.
Welcome to the therapy podcast, where it's cheaper than going on a Zoom call and talking.
But the thing is, this is not. It would be less expensive to actually go and do therapy than to buy two cameras.
Depends. Depends on the therapist.
I only see my friends doing therapy, and it seems like they're just paying friends.
Those are bad therapists.
Are
not,
they?
Not to. That's not for me to say. I don't know. Everyone's therapy's different. I wasn't looking at anything.
Okay, I was just like, I thought a light was about to fall.
The office is coming along, the studio.
Yeah. You want to? Let me show the people.
Yeah.
I'll pick up that trash later.
It's fine. The floors are done. The kitchen's coming along. The toilet doesn't work, but
it's looking pretty good. It's okay.
Yeah.
I got the camera up. This is what the normal view is. And then it's like really, look at the hole is fixed and most of the things are fine. Yeah. And
we still pee outside.
Let me show the people.
The security's doing well.
Yeah, that looks good.
Look at what your hard-earned dollars are giving us. Why does your phone have a giant hole in it?
Well, I was working out. Riggs came in, with his tail wagging as it does. Mm. And I had this balanced on a box of like old stuff that I don't know what to do with. And inside that box is a present someone gave me of a rooster that it was for when I joined Rooster Teeth. She got this for me as a present. It's like this welded rooster that's like someone made in their backyard and painted. It's like pretty,
yeah.
But it's very sharp. And this thing, when Riggs' tail hit it, it fell into the box and landed right on one of the little tail feathers, or the metal tail feathers of the rooster. So I think it's some sort of karma. I don't know. But it looks like it was shot.
It looks like it, in a movie where you had it in your pocket. It's the phone your father gave you.
Or I'm giving a speech for my bull moose party.
Right.
The thing is if someone did shoot me and the bullet hit this thing, not only would the bullet go through it and kill me, it would make this explode and set me on fire.
The lithium battery actually lodge into your heart, then explode.
Yeah.
I guess order of business. We have nothing on the docket. We don't even know really what we're talking about. We were talking on the way here though, of like making some changes of this is going well, but I think we're doing these podcasts as like seasons. It's like a season is like six episodes. Maybe, I don't know. However, we try to edit with our normal day-to-day jobs and doing the audiobook, and you're finishing your book. How is your book coming? You always say you're working on it, but what does that mean?
I'm writing it. Basically, I mean, the outline is done, and so I started working on the first two or three chapters of it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to have to pause it again for like a month to work on a pilot script that I had been working on before that now I think could actually go
pre-Rook.
It was pre-Rook.
Yeah, you
Rook ruined everything I was working on.
It's the ultimate detour and you're still on it,
which is it's nice, but
but
I think that I'm gonna pause working on the Untitled Penis Adventure book, and I already had outlined this, I mean, the series, but also the pilot. Mm. And I had written the first third of the pilot or so. And so now I should just finish the pilot and actually give it to someone to maybe do something with.
You make show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make it. You go do it.
I live Austin. You live here.
I work out
you
with make. Dog.
Yeah.
I break phone. We're pretty good at the production aspect of things. Usually we have a decent handle on how to produce things. Not so great on the delivery method. Because I know we're doing the Patreon thing. I'm like, I'll just make a Patreon post. And then I have to remember to put my mind into someone who's on Patreon. And it's like, you could only look at an unlisted YouTube link for our podcast. Like, that's not for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost just like us just showing our homework to be like, there, we did the thing we said we're going to do. We're not making it convenient for anybody.
That's a good metaphor.
If you're going to listen to a podcast, I assume you want it on Spotify.
You want to use it in your interface that you normally use.
We're paying for a service that you upload it once and it just goes everywhere. So I'm like, well, why don't we just do that with the Null and Void podcast? And then we'll just add a bit on those audio podcasts that say, like, this is brought to you by Patreon. We don't have sponsors. Uh-huh. They are messaging us, though. I don't know if you get those emails.
Who is messaging?
It's someone's job to go out there. Their job is just to go out there and comb through anyone that has over a certain number. So they see a YouTube channel has over 100,000 subscribers, and they just go, hey, we're selling knives or blankets.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had to follow you with the sponsor thing. I was like, what are you talking about?
Since we've started uploading, people have been coming in. And they're like, final notice. Oh, this is the last time we're going to.
Final notice.
Yeah. This is the last time we're going to offer
you. Company for ads.
There's the part of me that wants to be like, I'll talk about you on the podcast and we'll say your name and whatever money you're going to give us, you need to donate to charity. And I'm not going to do your ad read. I'm just going to say that you try to sponsor us. But even that, I think, is too. It's riding that line a little too much.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
Goes against everything I stand
for. You're
going
to open up that line of communication with those people, and it's never easy. It's always like some back and forth.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, well, if you could mention, like, we either don't want you to mention us at all. And if you do right. Now that we've discussed this, we'll sue you. Or when you mention us, you need to mention our new, you know, cutting edge knives that can cut through bone with one swipe or whatever. And you're just like, you get into this whole thing that's like, I don't want to fucking do that.
I always imagine it's some pasty white guy, probably in the UK. I always just imagine they're English or something. And they're just constantly rubbing their nipples when someone fucks up, like for those ad reads. And they type in the word make good and they go, we would like a make good. Cause now they have you by the balls. Mm-hmm. Can you say that? You can't say ball buster anymore. So that's the
right
one, which I thought was busting your testicles, but in fact, it has something to do with slavery.
Right.
Didn't know that. I'm learning something new every day.
Yeah. They're tweaking our tits.
Just milking us little by little. And they essentially just own you at that point because they go, well, that's not exactly what we're looking for. And we get two rounds of notes. And then I was just like,
at Rooster Teeth, I had to do all the ads, the brand integrated stuff with like Chris, and we had to write all this stuff. We fucking hated it. We were tired of doing it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Best Buy approached us.
I remember this.
Do this back to school ad. And so we're like, yeah, you know, that sounds good. You know, we're hating it, whatever. Mm. And we're like, let's do this thing where it's kind of, you know, this fish out of water story. This kid, you know, kind of comes in and is entranced by this, you know, upperclassman or whatever that leads him around. Mm. And it's really a cult. He wants them to join and he's a sacrifice. And Best Buy's like, love it. That's amazing.
Right.
Proved the concept, proved everything. Spent a shitload of money too.
I remember you showed me the video. You showed me, I saw the version
that had the Best Buy logo on it.
I remember you showed us at like some Mexican restaurant and they're like, yeah, they approved this. I'm like, okay. So I think what I know what happened. You guys were on a call. Mm-hmm. You got muted or
they
were not paying attention. No. And they just heard. So anyway, it's a guy at college cuts out. Blah, blah, blah. And then when it came back, he said, and then everyone's laughing and they went, love it. That's great. You guys do what you got to do. And they go back to making their fart jokes or whatever.
We made this thing that was so horrific.
It
followed the brief perfectly, but mm-hmm. we took the brief to this level to where it was, I mean, when it ends with that sacrifice and the heart gets ripped out and then the Best Buy logo comes on over. That was the part where I was showing you guys and you all laughed and you're like, well, I think so. One of you were like, you're going to get fired or whatever. I was like, maybe, but at least I'm not going to have to do these things anymore. And that's exactly what happened. Like they were so pissed off, but they had no recourse. There was nothing they could do. Like they actually just paid their out or whatever to get out of the thing or just wrote
the kill
it off
fee.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, sales was, they were upset with us. Everyone was upset with us. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, you're not going to, no more of this. You're not going to be able to do this. We're like,
yes. Yeah, mission awesome. Accomplished.
And then it became a video, and it's online.
Similar situation when we had that Jackbox game.
Oh, the one that I was.
That you were in it. Yeah, yeah. It's like you are this curse that follows
me, hungover. That was just sitting there.
And like, I forgot how that one came about. It was something like a third party. It wasn't even like normal sales. They came to us and said like, "Hey, Sony wants you to play a bunch of games. They have some like bullshit Jackbox stuff," and like it paid pretty well. Once again, I didn't see that money. Right. It went to the company, but right. It was like. That was sort of the unhealthy mindset you're in where like I've been, I remember when I was at Machinima and we wanted to run a story that was anti Xbox and some executive who had been there for 3 months goes like, "I'm going to give you 1 million reasons why we shouldn't run this news story." And I was like,
"You used 11 words when you could have used one."
Yeah. And it's like, I get it. They gave you a lot of money, but you're also fuck you. I'm going to do my job and you're just going to, whatever, sell your snake oil somewhere else. So fuck you. But yeah, just dealing with that sort of stuff, you know, like I think it was maybe 4 million reasons he said.
Yeah.
I kept going up. It was also, this was really like, this was Microsoft, like original Xbox One launch stuff. Anyway, sorry. And then fast forward to later when, you know, now we're more trying to facilitate these ad deals and make things happen where we're like, "Oh yeah, this pays pretty well. And we're just got to play some Sony games." And we called you like gay magic pedo and stuff. Yeah. And we drew you in a wheelchair and like,
well, I did the wheelchair first.
Yeah. Not that anything's wrong with a wheelchair. It was just like,
I mean, the people are the problem, not the wheelchairs.
It's just, it's all poor taste.
Yeah.
But it was like us being us. And then I think you just enable something in everyone. You have that anarchist sort of like
There's an anarchy, there's a kind of classed kind of way. I'm not trying to blow smoke in my own ass
you're like an anti-authority kind of.
I hate that shit. I hate all you know.
Yeah But it's like, but you also work within the system, like you're also part of the problem.
Absolutely
right. You're a drone, but you're Edward Norton if you didn't quit your job. You'll never beat yourself up in the office. You'll daydream of that, but then I'm the same way where I'm like, I hate all that stuff and I hate being part of a system, but then I'm also like, it's not so bad when I play paintball.
If you can make it work for you, I guess that works.
But yeah, but that same, it was like, hey, we hit all the bullet points, so like take out gay magic pedo, take out this and this, and it like there's that embarrassing part where I'm like, yeah, it is me just trying to be too edgy. Uh-huh. You know, too edgy for you, and it really isn't that funny, but it made me laugh in the moment. And I guess that's what's important. Only one of the videos went up and like the rest of them were all just, they're like kill fee. We'll just,
yeah.
A kill fee is when they'll pay a fraction, whatever, for you not to air the thing right. You made.
I mean, sometimes not even a fraction, sometimes like 30% or something or whatever it is, like whatever the contract.
We had a few where it was like 100%.
Yeah.
They were like, "We'll pay you in full to not air this video." And we're like, that's cool.
That's a better business model in my mind. Like,
that's what I want to do. Yeah. Just keep, like you're talking about doing your script. Like I want to work on something that will never see the light of day. Like I want to be the guy who's trying to develop, Dune came out, but like whatever the next, like I'm going to work on the Discworld series from Terry Pratchett. It's 4,200 books that he wrote and my job is to, and Amazon's going to pay me for the next 200 years to try to make this a reality. And it'll never happen. I think they probably are. They're probably adapting it. I don't know. All the unadaptable stuff is being adapted now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like Sandman coming this year because Netflix has unlimited money. I'm like, oh, that's all it took. It just took money. Stupid.
What you were getting at about the not giving a shit about whether something gets made. We were just talking about this where we were in kind of a meeting. And you were saying it too, but I was per usual, a little more rough around the edges and blunt with how I expressed it.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. Where I told the person to their face, I don't give a fuck if this doesn't get made because I'm going to make it anyway.
Mm.
And I don't need someone to like it because I know it's good and I'm going to make it. And that's why I'm making it like this. And
I felt bad in part of that exchange because I told you, hey, we're meeting a friend. It's not a typical Hollywood thing. We're meeting in Hollywood.
It's at a restaurant where Hollywood people meet.
Yeah. And there were things that were outside of everyone's control,
mm-hmm.
where like the random guy stops by like, What up? Hey, are you doing that thing? Not if Tom Cruise can make it. Anyway, see you later. And I looked at you and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
The best part of that, and I had forgotten all about this because I hadn't been a part of those kind of things in like 3 or 4 years, is when someone who stops by, they drop the name of, you know, or names of the people they're working with. And there's the pause. They wait for everyone to go, you know, and I had just gotten done telling this person that I don't give a fuck about any of this, like literally told her I don't give a fuck about this, blah, blah, blah. And then that guy was talking and I just turned away from him and started eating the cheese garlic knots because I didn't give a fuck about what he was saying either. And
yeah,
and I go, I won't go into what I,
but you can cut around it. It's fine.
No. I said something kind of mean about him because I said something like, I guess the guy has a twin or something like that. Or I don't know what it was. And I was
I've already forgotten.
And I said something like, there's two of that guy. And I just kept eating. And I've been over trying to make impressions and just be me. And I'm not going to be mean to someone, but it can sound mean. I've been told when I talk about not giving a shit about what they think, I'm just going to do what I want to do and all this stuff. But apparently I made a good impression. I don't know.
One of the things we want to do is make stuff.
Right.
And I think one of the things going in with intention, number one, everything we make, it's like, it needs to just serve that medium. So Rook is a book. Can it be a movie? Can it be a show? I don't know. I leave that to someone else. If someone does come to us and say, I want to give you a big fat check, it's not going to happen. But if someone does, you go, okay, well then about 300,000 things need to change for it to be that thing. Cause it was written as a book. That was the entire experience. This other thing you're talking about is a TV show. You want to make a TV show. We can't make a TV show. Mm-hmm. So you do need to go through some system and have these meetings and talk to people where they go nowhere sometimes, or it will go somewhere, but it's like, can at least try.
I understand that part of it. And like, I won't fool myself into thinking like, oh, you can't not go to these meetings. But I've also reached a point in my career, whatever you want to call it, where I've been to enough of those things. I know how it goes. I know how the people interact with each other. No one's ever honest with one another. That's just how it is. It's like, I love it. I'm going to talk to you next week about this. No, not going to happen. So it's more in my mind, in my world, I think it's more interesting and more memorable if you're like, look, this is the pitch. You let the pitch speak for itself and you go, I'm going to write this thing. I'm going to do this thing. Someone's going to want to do it eventually. I don't, if something happens with you and I, that's fantastic. If not, that's totally cool too. I don't care. Here's what it is. You like it, come on board. If not, I'm still going to do it. So let's, we can talk or we're not going to talk, just basically laying this, being very real. And in this particular instance, which I knew it would be and how it will be going forward, is it's disarming because people are so not used to in LA, New York, kind of the main places. They're not used to that. Like, okay,
you're a human.
Yeah. You're actually talking with me and not, and you're not name dropping anything. Or when I ask you in the first 2 minutes of knowing you, what are you working on? What are you doing? It's like, I'm working on stuff. I'm working on this appetizer.
That's what I'm doing. There's a car in my garage that I'm thinking about.
If you start talking about real things like that, just completely like it's glazed.
We talked about this already in a past thing, but talking about like the kind of, it's like an extended small talk almost or something. Like I like talking creative ideas. I like talking about like potential of like, oh, I had this idea. And like you and I have those talks all the time of just like, I have this idea. And then I relate it to some TV show I'm watching. And then you go, well, no, that's not what I was going for. I'm like, yeah, but it's like that. And then I hang up.
Uh-huh.
Those go over real well.
Going back to that is we were talking about self-worth and, not trying to make yourself valuable to someone else or not trying to feel like you have to justify your worth to someone immediately, which is so much of this environment and all of this stuff people deal with it on all sorts of levels. Like there's, you want to say the LA level where you're sitting at a table at a restaurant that shouldn't charge that much for fucking
chow.
Yeah. Whatever we're at, this place and some dipshit comes by talking about the new thing he's working on with whatever pedophile in Hollywood and all this stuff. And you feel like you have to go like, Well, you know, I'm working on my second book, and you know, I'm going to buy a BMW. You don't have to do any of that shit. Like, you don't have to do any of it. You are worth, you know, the only people you need to be worth anything to are your friends or, and your family, if they're all right, you know, but like, you don't have to prove your worth to anyone. You don't have to say what you're driving, what you're working on, or like try and drop a name or anything. Like, you're worth it. You don't have to justify to some strangers.
I'm from LA. I was born here, but I don't act like someone who's from LA. Or I think I have in the past where I've gone that kind of schmoozy route where it's like, it's who you know. And I don't like that version of me. And
it feels icky.
I like the creative. I like making stuff. I don't like the world in which it exists. Uh-huh. I don't like the YouTube scene. I don't like the Twitch scene. I don't like online creators. Like, I don't like, well, I mean, like,
I know,
as,
I know,
as individuals, right? I like these people. What I don't like is the hive mind around it. This is what we're doing. Like, I don't like social media. I don't like when things balloon into one thought process of putting things into this is good or this is bad, or we shun this person or whatever. They don't look at stuff as, you don't look at people as individuals anymore. And it becomes a scene. I don't like scenes.
Yeah.
I don't want to belong to a group. It's really hard to sacrifice your own integrity to fit into someone's box.
Or if I'm talking to you, let's talk like some human stuff. Let's get, I don't give a fuck about the insider news on some production that's about to start or whatever, like, or, you know, any of that other stuff. And I'm picking on LA, but people all over the world have to deal with this in some form where they have to like justify their existence to someone else to, you know, feel the self-worth or to feel like they, you know, can progress in life or just, I don't know.
We can talk about rejection. I mean, that when we go into these things, we try to have a theme and it
oh, goddamn ice cream.
It's a clown. The clown's here. I doubt it'll be picked up on these mics. I hope it's picked up by these mics.
I guarantee it's being fucking
picked that
up. There's no, it's just a guy. No one buys his ice cream.
I think it's just fruit.
I'm going to strangle him.
I wish it was just a clown with his other shoe trying to get quarters.
No, I just shove that horn down his throat so as he's trying to cry for help, it's going,
ah! Hey, Adam here. This is not an ad break. We don't do ads. But in the original video that we edited, we put a fake ad starring Bill Clinton from Masterclass. Aaron had a good idea of just kind of making fun of this absurdity of the whole thing. It only really works in a visual medium. So that's why this is here, but I didn't want just to cut to the other part of the conversation, kind of use that fake ad as a way to just cut out a bulk of whatever garbage we were talking about. So just a reminder, we will never do ads. And if you need to get better at something, either pay content creators or whatever directly who can help you out, or just learn it for free on your own on YouTube, as you can easily do. Don't pay for Masterclass. It's a fucking ripoff. Anyway, back to the show.
Don't you hate blah? And you're like, well, I don't want to speak out. I don't want
to
feel
send a thank you letter to so-and-so because they're getting married. It's like, no, fuck them.
This thing is happening. You need to have an opinion on it. You know, like, no one asked. No one cares. This giant world event's happening. What does so-and-so think on Twitter? It's like, let's just bomb Twitter and get rid of it, please.
Yeah, you want to know what Job Rule thinks?
Twitter and all these social media things are like, what's going to haunt you 30 years from now? You know, and like, a platform in which you can unleash your thoughts and have a record of it.
That's why I've been going through mine and deleting all the bad things.
That'll happen. That's fine.
No, I don't know if we'll cut this or not or whatever.
I'm cutting most of what I just ranted about because it's getting us somewhere.
Well, I was thinking about a tweet I made during the riots that were happening in June of 2020. Because I saw this this father and son running into a Target together or whatever, they're, you know, doing family business, you know, stuff. So I made a, you know, some joke, like, I love to see like father son bonding activities, or whatever. And everyone got pissed off at me, and it might have been a time and place kind of thing. It's been pretty, you know, a lot of things were happening, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I support rioting, you know, but I don't necessarily support when it affects like people, you know, like mom and pop shops where like that's their business is gone. Like that sucks.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know what you do about that either. But anyway, I made this joke and I was like, I don't know. I thought it was funny at the time and maybe it's funny in hindsight, but at the moment it wasn't. So I just ended up getting rid of it because I was like, meh, all right. But oddly enough, it did spawn a conversation with my dad who, you know, my dad's way out there on all sorts of things, but he was like, you know, I don't think we'd be a good father-son looting team. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, I think you and, or I think me and your brother would be better rioters. And I was like, what does that mean? I kind of felt hurt a little bit and I kept prodding. He's like, well, you know, your brother and I'd be on the same page about who needs to take what from the store. And you and I wouldn't get the same, you know, we wouldn't get complimentary stuff. Like you'd get some stuff that I didn't care about. I get some stuff that you wouldn't care about. Like, you know, Lynn and I would go in and actually get like a bounty. Mm. And I was like, why would you think that? And he just like kept going at this very real, like, we wouldn't be good looting.
There's a deeper message there.
Well, obviously.
He sees you as weak or not in sync with your needs or desires.
My dad's thing would be like, yeah, you just break into Target and go steal a bunch of books.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And then you would read them.
Yeah.
And you'd wait for the cops to show up because you love licking boots.
And like, what is and this he coming would go from? And try and steal an 85-inch TV that he couldn't carry. And he'd be dragging it out, breaking it as some cop came in and started tasering his kidneys.
I was that person for a while of like, hey, there's a need to have a joke or an opinion on something that's happening in the world.
That's where I'm coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. And around 2015, 16, moving forward, it was like, it's impossible. And it was just like, I think back to that Simpsons episode where Homer goes up and does stand up. And right before he goes up, Smithers tells everyone that a dog was just killed in the parking lot.
I have some sad news to report. A small puppy, not unlike Lassie, was just run over in the parking lot. And now it's time for the comedy stylings of Homer Simpson.
And no matter what you say, it's like, you awful man. Yeah, I made some joke. There was a, you know, like a neo-Nazi rally. And it was around the time a Wolfenstein game was coming out. And I made some joke about like, the marketing's getting a little out of hand. And people were like, someone died. And I was like, did they? And I read the news like, oh, fuck, someone did die. I got hit by a car. Like, Jesus. Like, and then it was just that moment of like, I don't want to do this. And like, also, what am I doing this for? Internet points or edgelord humor? I don't know.
Right.
It was just like it made me question a lot about like my motives and that. What is this for? A desperate need to seem relevant.
It's lessened for me in the last few months, that tingle in your spine you get when some event happens or whatever, and you feel like you need to say something about it. Like,
right.
I don't get it as much as I used to. I still get it, but, that's why I don't post on Twitter as much anymore or whatever,
right.
Or just the garbage that comes out. But like, I would get that tingle like, I need to say, you know, about whatever, because everyone's doing it. And like, that's my worth, you know, or whatever. And it was always trash. But
I think it was on Instagram or something where they're like, everyone post the black square to show that you're behind this movement. And then people saying, don't do that. It ruined. And then that's the whole like it's swinging too far one way or the other. And I think you lose yourself, and it is a digital mob. And you know, the Men in Black quote, it's like, a person is smart, a group of people is stupid.
I mean, I was talking to you about my 150 person social media. Is this the place?
On top of coming up with new exciting written ideas, we also want to pitch our apps to the 100 people listening to this.
You know, there's that phenomenon or whatever, or no, that theory that people can't have more than like primates or people can't have more than like 150 people in their social circle or whatever.
A very daunting number when you think about it.
Yeah. But like it adds up quick, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you know, cause you count, I think you count family in that.
Yeah. Some scientific study says like we cannot have more than like 100 or 150 people within our community that we can identify with or like have like meaningful conversations with. After that, it all just becomes very surface.
What it is now.
Yeah. Which I would even chaos. Make the argument more than 20.
Right. But I started saying like, what if you what if there was some law passed or some app made to where the goal wasn't to get as many followers and as big of a reach as you could. It's like you have a set limit of people that you can interact with. Part of the dystopian version of that that's interesting is the government's like, no, you just have your 150 pod or something. Or, I don't know how that works, but
you have to apply to move to a different pod or to grow said pod, or
it's like on your taxes. You have to list like the people in your group. And then if like, you know, it goes over a certain amount or whatever, you get penalized.
It's a digital version of China's having too many kids.
Yeah. No, that's what you have. You have too many friends and family.
Population controlled, but in a digital space so that you don't mentally burn yourself out.
Or cause problems for the, it'd really be like government control. Cause then you could, the whole, because you could rally together essentially when you have a bunch of followers and stuff. But anyway, but it also causes problems. But I was like, this app where you have 150 maximum that you can have in your friend and following kind of group, and what that would look like, because you'd inevitably you'd have like the Kim Kardashian who was like, well, the only people in my group are Versace and, you know, or whoever. That, you know, it's like 150 of the most like billionaires and influential people, Obama's in it or whatever. Right. But then it causes a problem because you have no one to talk to because they're not going to talk.
It gets into more of an unhealthy like collection.
Yeah. You're trying to collect your Pokemon people.
I know I did that on social media where it was like, you get that one follower or someone, you know, someone famous or whatever. And you're like, you like covet it. Like, oh, famous person who doesn't talk to me.
And you're like, I should weed out some of the lesser people so it looks better.
Yeah. And it was like, well, it's because they're, the only reason that happened was because their social media person saw your following and thought they could use you and or saw that you're connected to someone else. And it's all sick.
It's like when I visited Obama's page like a few years ago or something, I was like, all right, follows me. What? And I looked at it and like, you know, his account follows however 700,000 or million people or however many people.
It's you and 7-Eleven.
They like, probably found me through the 7-Eleven one.
And I just said a random corporation that would have a Twitter account. What was the 7-Eleven thing?
Oh, the where I was trapped in a 7-Eleven and I posted it with three or four other people. What happened was is I was in the 7-Eleven and this the woman, the cashier, it's me and four other people were in there. The cashier goes, it's my break. And she just goes and locks the front doors and goes into the back room and locks the back room.
You've told me this.
It took us a second to figure out what she did. And we're like, wait, she says she's on a break. And then this woman goes to the front doors and goes like that. She goes, they're locked. And I was like, what the fuck? And so we're all locked in this thing. And we're like, ma'am, ma'am. She didn't answer.
Of course.
Didn't do anything. So I take this picture of me trapped in the 7-Eleven with these other people, not even thinking about it. And then it became this meme of someone added some other little caption to it, like, what movie is this? Or like, what if this is like people fall into another dimension or something? And I get fucking tagged on it every week, like with some, you know, those meme accounts that just have their followings because they repost shit.
Yeah.
And so it'll be another 100,000 people that see this thing or another 200,000 people or 50,000 or whatever. And they'll go, is this you, Aaron? Is this you? And I'm like, yes, it's me. It's me. It's me. You know, but
I also don't need to respond.
But they blow up my phone and it makes me have a self-worth when I respond to them.
Yeah. When you're on a date and you go, they're like, what's that? You wouldn't believe it if I told you. Anyway, you want to go back to my place? I'm the meme guy.
But anyway, that's why Obama followed me, I'm pretty sure.
This conversation started about hating the Hollywood douche elite who name drop.
And here you are.
That's what you should have followed up with. You're like, by the way, Obama follows me because I'm the 7-Eleven. He's walking away. You know, like with your cheese truffle fondues hanging from your
that wasn't that good
bottom lip. I was starving.
It was fine.
It was pretty good.
No, exactly. You fall into that thing, and it's a conscious effort to try and be present and real. And
the problem I'm still overcoming because I still have monkey producer brain. When you're telling a story like that, my stupid brain went to, where was I trapped? Because that's not being present. That's
You weren't listening to my shit.
Because you've already said it. You've already told me.
I know.
You tell me all the time. Yeah. And I always tweet you and ask, is this you?
Yeah.
That's the unhealthy part of my brain going like, how can I one-up you? And I hate that.
I do it too.
Yeah. I think everyone does it on some level.
Yeah.
When the correct response is, I should look at you in your face, so you see the whites in my eye, so you know that I'm not going to attack.
Yeah.
That's how the gorillas do it.
Follow-up
questions. And I follow up questions. Yeah. Like, how did you get out? How is Obama?
Like a good therapist would be. And so this therapist just wants to talk about their own stuff.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel that time's up.
Must have been hard for you.
Can you Venmo me?
Yeah. The same time next week?
let's end there. Let's save this for.
Yeah. Oh, we got a lot more to dig into.
I know it's about 7 minutes early, but if we get into this now, we won't have enough time.
So. Yeah. I will say with therapy, I we joke about it. There's a stigma with it.
Totally. It comes mostly from me.
I think The Sopranos tackled it pretty well. Yeah. I've heard the story about therapists who will just, they'll hear your story and then they'll do the thing like, oh my God, I went through something just like that. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ask me questions. This is my time. I'm paying you so I can talk through my stuff and you're helping me. But just the other night, I realized how much of my unhealthy behavior, when and where it occurred. Because yesterday I didn't sleep well. I've been sleeping a lot better these days. But I was in this like 10-year stretch of just bad sleep. It was because my poor choices were causing me to stay up at night, and I was reliving basically shame and guilt and all this stuff over in my head. I had a, I hate to say triggered because it gets overused, but something was triggered in me yesterday where I'm like, I'm in this really bad state right now. And I was having this fear of feeling bipolar where I was driving back from work and I was just down. I had this feeling of where like that feeling where you want to just crash the car into something and you just want it to all go away. Cause you're like, there's this really unhealthy voice in your head saying, you're in pain. How can I help you? Through work, I found out that's your internal family system, that there's something trying to protect you. By hurting you, it makes no sense. But okay. This is a very common thing. When I was driving back, you texted me and said like, hey, I shot the thing. You don't need to pick up fabric. And my brain went from sad to happy, where I guess that's dopamine or something. And I was in this really bad place just yesterday of being like, is that bipolar? Is that, and it's questioning all these things about myself and then realizing, oh, this is all coming from a lack of sleep. This is my body and mind fatigued and not in a safe place. And I was in that state perpetually for about 10 years. I was constantly numbing out with either chemicals, you know, liquid or otherwise, or just visual stimuli, whether that's like pornography or video games or things that just like would give, it would take me from the low that I'm in to this high. And it was just this constant imbalance. And through therapy, I have a better understanding of that. And just like so much of this, like, I just don't want to feel bad anymore, man. Mm-hmm. And it scared me just yesterday because I felt that creep back up again. And I haven't felt that in a while.
Because of the stuff I told you?
No. Okay. I had nothing to do with you.
Oh, okay.
I just had a bad night of sleep. It was like, it happens. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It was just, I stayed up too late. I ate something bad or.
So the actual just kind of like physicality of it kind of triggered that kind of thing.
And I haven't, everyone has that time where like you're in a, you miss a day of sleep or whatever, or you're up way too late or something happened. You're in, you know, who knows? You had you ate too much Indian food and just the next day you're a zombie and I always call it like the spiders behind your eyes. Like you're feeling that like itch and you're just like, but you can't sleep because it's daytime and your body doesn't know what to do. I had that kind of flashback yesterday and then like, I had to like pick myself up and go to work and I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God, this was me. I was this for a long time where I was pretty much a shell. And I was like, it scared me. I've been working through that a lot in therapy and other like group recovery work. I'm just being like, oh my God, that is not a present human being.
No.
So same time next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just glad that it wasn't triggered by like the funny situation that I was put in yesterday. No.
Had absolutely nothing to do with you. That's another unhealthy thing we do where if someone's having a bad day, like, what did I do? What did I do to upset you?
Yeah. I mean, the context, though, kind of would make sense if I told you some story that, you know, I don't even know how to go into where I'm approached to be in an open marriage or something, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's just a, I think it's funny or slightly interesting at the time, but it's like, there's some weird, like, you know, I don't even know, maybe a dirtiness to it or some, no, it's not dirt. It's a weirdness, that could trigger, I don't know, some thoughts in your brain or something.
I know what you're saying. That wasn't it because you didn't tell me till the next morning when I had already hadn't had the sleep.
Okay. I'm mixing up the days.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to judge other people's.
I don't want, it's not, it's not a judging. It's more of a, what do I do constantly where I, this is the second time this year that this has happened.
You ever thought about just being a gigolo?
Yes. Yes. And that's an issue too.
I thought Midnight Cowboy did a really good job of that, where John Voight is just working so hard.
Oh, gee, you say I get money just for sucking cock?
Well, because he finally gets a woman, like an older rich woman. And she's like, well, thank you for that. And he's like, and payment? And she goes, no, no, I'm not going to pay you. He's like, I am a John. And she's like, and I was a lay, so get out of here before my husband comes home.
Yeah.
And it's just all, you know, then he has to get a pimp, which is, you know, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
With rocks in his shoes.
Some sort of TB or whatever he has.
Dies on the streets of New York.
Yeah. Or he dies on a bus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Ugh, that's, you could be John Voight. You could have an Angelina Jolie and not find out about her until she shows up in a Tomb Raider movie.
It's more of like, okay, for a long time, you know, I was living the wild bachelor kind of, I mean, I still am, but in a just very kind of reckless way, right. If I'm being honest, just like, just kind of, you know, just taking advantage of situations and whatever.
It's like the improv of human decency.
Yeah. Yes. And yes. And uh-huh. Yes. And uh-huh. Yes. And yes. Mm-hmm. And yes. And, and I've made a very concerted effort. I think it's the right
term. Conservative effort.
No, I've definitely made a strong effort and changed a lot of things about my life in the last few years, two or three years, to not be down that path anymore of just, you know, playboyism or whatever the case is, not to look into too much how the sausage is made. And then when things like that happen, I go, what am I doing? You know, did I say something or did I like, was I flirty or what did I do? Blah, blah, blah. And
Not always.
And I don't think that was the case in these instances as of late, since I've changed and changed my, you know, try to be a different, you know, kind of person.
Yes.
Anyway, that leads into what we'll talk about, where I was propositioned.
And you will always be propositioned.
Which is fine.
Until one day it won't happen and you'll feel your self-worth diminish, which is not where I think you should attribute your value.
I'll look into a mirror and not see that woman or her husband over my shoulder brushing their teeth.
You are more than the piece of meat people make you out to be. You are more than flesh and bone. You're a mind that can think of creative ways of what you can do with
that
flesh and
bone. What a stupid, unrelatable problem to have. But it's funny, and I'll go, talk about it.
This is my wild, crazy theory. I do believe in spirituality. I do believe in things we cannot understand. I don't think there's any way to explain a lot of the stuff that's happening in the cosmos. It's too wild. And I don't think we're evolved enough to figure that out. What I do believe in is that there was a big bang. There was a big explosion. I think the universe is constantly expanding and contracting because that is just something that we have here. And I think whatever happens on this planet is happening in the rest of the universe. That's just the laws of the universe are the same pretty much everywhere. Getting to that, to try to make it relatable, if we all started from the same mass that exploded, it means there's something that connects all of us. There's a piece of stardust, or there's an atom that you and I both share that came from the same place in some way. It's, you know, it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction, but there's some weird deep-seated thing that connects us all. And sometimes in those situations, people get a vibe off each other and they look at you and they go, yeah, he would be good for my
swinging,
only because we all came from the Big Bang.
We came from the Big Bang, and it led us
to a much smaller bang.
Bang.
of gangs.
Well, to be discussed on the next episode.
We should stop.
I don't know how much of that end we'll use, but...
No, almost none of it.